Chapter 1. Hyacinth. I should have been listening to the minister's sermon, as he was a rather good speaker. The morning's topic of forgiveness was something I could have wholeheartedly used, but my mind was directed elsewhere. God couldn't really blame me, for Jackson Reed sat in the pew in front of me. Because of his large size, I couldn't see the minister without leaning to my left and clonking heads with Marigold. I could just close my eyes and let the word of God flow through me, but instead, took the opportunity that God was affording me to look my fill at the man who'd first caught my attention the minute he first stepped onto our ranch. I couldn't sit at any other time and shamelessly stare at Jackson, especially from so close a distance, for then not only would he know, but so would my sisters, the six who still lived at home, lined up along the pew on either side of me. While I tried to watch him surreptitiously, my sisters were not so subtle. In fact, they often crowded a window at the house in pairs or trios if he were within view. Jackson's hair was very fair, closely shorn on the sides and longer on the top. He parted it to the right, and although I couldn't see it, I knew it fell down over his forehead. His hair was marked by a crease from the hat that lay in his lap. The skin on the back of his neck was tanned, and when he turned his head slightly to the side, I could see his clean-shaven jaw. I knew the square angle of it as well as the long line of his nose, his strong brow and very blue eyes. He had eyes that, when focused on me, didn't just see me, but saw into me. It was very unnerving, and every time Jackson spoke to me, I was tongue-tied and flustered. This was why I took this hour to take in the details I would otherwise miss. Surely God had given me this time on purpose. I observed the soft flannel of his blue shirt that surely matched his eyes, the very pale hairs that dusted his earlobes, visible when the sun through the church windows fell on him just right. When I breathed in, I could pick up a hint of his scent, mint and leather. A nudge from Marigold had me breaking my reverie. She raised and lowered her eyebrows and tilted her head towards Jackson, silently telling me how appealing he was. No words were needed, for she and Lily and Iris had simpered enough about him since his arrival 2 months back. In reply, I grabbed the hymnal from the back of the pew and opened the page the minister called out. When the piano began to play, it wasn't the words of the song that had my attention, but the deep baritone in front of me singing the words. I'd just learned one more thing about Jackson Reed. He could sing very well. When the service ended a short time later, we stood and Marigold leaned in to whisper in my ear. "Do you have any idea what the sermon was about?" She giggled and I frowned. I waited for Lily on my other side to move out into the aisle and I followed. "Jackson, did you find the sermon informative?" Lily asked. She was not shy around the man, and didn't hesitate to pull him into conversation. Her interest in him blatant. It was clear, at least to me, he did not return any of her interest, but offered her safe and neutral replies. He looked to Lily and smiled. I was jealous of her in that moment, for he gave her a smile and she did not appreciate it. She wanted it most assuredly, but did not understand the value of Jackson's attentions.
"Do you have someone you should be offering forgiveness?"
he asked her. She stepped out into the aisle and he held out his hand in a gesture that I should follow her. The remainder of the Lennox pew moved in behind us down the aisle, and the conversation stopped until we were once again outside. "I should forgive Lily, for she took the ribbon I was going to add to my bonnet," Iris replied. "She also used my lilac-scented soap," Marigold added. Lily didn't look the least bit contrite. "Yes, but it was in trade. I gave you some of the lace to put on your new dress in trade for the ribbon." She turned to Marigold and pointed. "That isn't your soap. It was mine to begin with. I got it for my birthday, so I should be forgiving you." The three of them went round in circles, arguing about who was right, Jackson forgotten. He just grinned and went to join his father, who stood in the periphery. I, too, stood in the periphery, but on the other side of our large group. Once everyone had thanked the minister at the door and joined us in the open field in front of the church, Miss Esther clapped her hands to gain attention.